1 Timothy chapter 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech conduct love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you. Once again, we come to these pastoral epistles, which are not simply for pastors alone or church leadership alone. Here we have rich instruction given for the entire body to be built up and to be strengthened. Yes, indeed, there is much that pastors and church leaders rightly especially focus in on. But for who of us can it not be said that we are to be absorbed in these things? Consider what the Apostle Paul writes to his young associate Timothy, and how that he pleads with him, how he chides him and encourages him through these verses. He says, the Spirit not just says something, but the Spirit explicitly says. Later on, he speaks in verses 15 and 16. He says, take pains with these things. He says, throw yourself into them, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. And he says, not just pay attention, but he says, pay close attention. These things are things that are especially vital, that the body of Christ might be strengthened and built up, that we might know where we stand. Well, of course, we come to this central part, which is the theme of these sermons, the trustworthy statements, trustworthy faithful sayings. And it comes in verse 9, where the apostle says, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. And he has just outlined about godliness, about how that it is of surpassing value, that there is profit and there is promise to godliness. Well, let's consider this. Often the apostle, as in Hebrews, we are given the image, we are given the mental picture of an athlete running a race. And in Hebrews chapter 12, after the great chapter, which outlines faith through Hebrews chapter 11, we are brought, as it were, into an arena setting where there is a whole host of people gathered in the seats above us, and we're on the playing field, and we are encouraged to run the race with endurance that is set before us, ever setting our eyes upon the finish line with Jesus beckoning us on. And we are told that we are to set aside, lay aside the encumbrances, the backpack and the parka and all those things that encumber us, and the sin, how sin entangles, how it trips us up. It's like shoelaces of an athlete that are untied. It's dangerous. We're going to trip over them. We must run in a proper and correct manner. Now, our world is absolutely absorbed with sports and with various events, whether they be the Canada Games, whether they be the Pan American Games, whether they be the Olympic Games or something else. And we have an idea of people who come out of training and all of a sudden they are on the spotlight. They are on the track or they're in the pool. They're in some competition and we are amazed at how they can run, how they can swim, how they can row, how they can do whatever it is. But even though we are taken, perhaps in a documentary, back a few steps, weeks, months, or even years, into how that they labored, how that they toiled over their training, I dare say that we do not get the true sense. In those few moments, for TV is forever trying to entertain us and to hold our attention, those few moments of documentary coverage, they do not impress upon us as they should, or perhaps as they would like, how it is to get up at 3 or 4 every morning, to go to the pool, to go to the track, to lift those weights, and to be absorbed in that physical discipline that will get them through all of the preliminaries and get them to that track where they hope they will be the one standing on the highest podium and receiving the highest praise. Well, Paul, he says, here is a trustworthy statement. Here is a statement, a faith-filled statement that deserves full acceptance, that though bodily discipline is of some profit, there is a little bit there, godliness has a profit that goes far beyond, a God-likeness. Now, Paul does not say, you shall be God. That would be utter heresy. But there is a draw, there is a pull that brings us that we might have a God-likeness, that we might walk in his steps, that as Jesus gathered his disciples around him and as he sought to pour into them and invest into them, that in so doing, we might also walk in godliness. And Paul says, this discipline, what leads us to this and what Paul would want for Timothy himself, as well as for all under Timothy's charge, was this very point. Godliness that is profitable for all things. How many of us know the passing of time and we know that our bodies are not what they were when we were teenagers. There is not that ability to run the distance and to go the length. There is that fatigue. There is that weariness. Well, godliness is something that does not wane and it does not lag as does the body. Godliness is profitable for all things. And it not only is profitable, but there is this promise for the present life. It guards, it instructs, it helps us as we go through this life. It shows us the way in which we should turn or whether we should not turn at all, but also for the life to come. Now, we are ever in the slippery area where people say, discipline. That is what will get me to heaven. That is what will get me salvation. Discipline, hard work, toil, getting up early, staying up late, constantly beating upon my body and beating upon my spirit. Well, the apostle, he guards against this in what he would then say after outlining this. He says, verse 10, "It is for this we labor and strive." He is talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about what takes place after a person comes to know Christ, that they might grow in godliness, that they might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Because he says, "For this we labor and strive, because we have fixed," past tense, "our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men," especially of believers. He's saying that God has done what we could never do by our sweat, by our toil, by all of our discipline, by all of our rising early and staying up late, by all of our schedules and regimen. He is saying we have fixed our hope upon God, who has brought about what we could never do in and of ourselves, never even begin to do. We have fixed our hope on the living God. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, we looked to the living God to do a work of resurrection, bringing us out of death and darkness into light and life. And this is who we have our eyes set upon. Paul says to Timothy, prescribe, teach these things. He had previously said, set aside worldly fables, all of those things which do not profit, and Timothy, give yourself to this. Now, Timothy, we don't know exactly his age, but there seemed to be some moniker of a youthfulness attached to him. And so there were some who looked down upon him and said, well, you know, the Apostle Paul, he's the one who we should listen to. And Timothy, you're just sort of a small fry. And Paul said, let no one look down on your youthfulness. But here is how you win the day, Timothy, in speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, in purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. That's good counsel for whoever is either youthful or who would desperately like to be youthful, to live an example before others who are watching in such a manner. Some people wonder, why at Faith Bible Church do we read a couple of portions of Scripture, and often those portions of Scripture are not too short, rather lengthy at times. Sometimes they are a little on the shorter side. But out of 1 Timothy, I constantly have this going through my thoughts as services are prepared. What Paul said, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. How often we bypass the Word. And on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, there is this opportunity for all of us to have the Word poured into our empty vessels, needy, and that we might hear the Word of God and be strengthened by it as nothing else can strengthen us. Paul talked to Timothy about not neglecting the spiritual gift that had been put upon him, and that he was to take pains, be absorbed, and that progress would be evident. Pay close attention, dear friend. Call yourself Timothy, and let Paul speak directly to you for a moment, and hear this Pay attention to yourself. There was a man who said, we need to know ourselves, and that is all that you need to know. Another man came along and said, that was only half, and perhaps the smaller half. You not only need to know yourself, but control yourself. Well, here, Paul, he speaks to Timothy, and he says, pay close attention. Don't be distracted by other things in this world, but how you walk, how you grow, how you speak, how you interact with others. Pay attention to your teaching. And he says, persevere, persevere. In Hebrews chapter 12 also, we have that same word, to persevere and to press ahead in all these things, that you might know that you're truly going to heaven, salvation, and that others might also know this as well. Lord, for your word and for its rich instruction, we give you thanks and praise. And Lord, may each of us lay hold of this godliness, God-likeness, profitable, with promise, not just for the world to come, but for here and now. So, Lord, let us, in fervent pursuit, be seeking this gift, this treasure. And, Lord, may it be not that we are in the spotlight, but that we might be the examples to a watching world of a God who so has loved us that we can love others. A God who has so shown faithfulness that we might walk in a similar way and bring praise and honor to you. So, Lord, hear us. Help us. Work in each of our lives, drawing us to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.